Welcome to this episode of the WorkXO Culture Chat Podcast, where we explore the intersection of workplace culture and the future of work. We feature progressive leaders who intentionally manage their cultures so that you might also experience the power of doing the same. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. This is Charlie Judy, founder and CEO of WorkXO. So glad to have you all here again today for another edition of our Culture Chat podcast, where we talk about, of course, all things workplace culture and how it intersects with really, frankly, everything in the world of work, how it can become a true driver to success, whether we define that as the age-old measure of employee engagement, or we're talking about turnover, or we're talking about productivity, or we're talking about growth or change or new markets or new leaders. Culture can be at the root of all of that and can really help us respond to our business agendas in a much more meaningful way. And so that's what WorkXO does. You all know that, hopefully. And if you don't, go check us out at workxo.com. But that's not what we're really here today to talk about. We on this podcast try to find really interesting people out there that are doing interesting things in the world of work and talk about culture and how it impacts what they do and what they're interested in. And today we've got a great guest in Dina Galay, who is a senior business developer slash expert slash director, leader in mostly the realm of talent acquisition. And executive search and placement. And she works with a great organization out of Chicago called the Steely Group. And I'll let her tell much more about that. But we're going to talk about how culture, in fact, can become a real differentiator in this kind of ongoing and, pardon the cliche, war for talent. We'll get into some more specifics around that. But let's start with just a little bit more from you, Dina, around who the heck you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about. Welcome.
Thanks, Charlie. And I'm excited to be here. I love this topic, so this is going to be a fun discussion. As you said, I'm the Senior Director of Business Development for the Steely Group. So we are a recruiting firm, and I work with HR leaders to find talent for their organizations. And my specialty is finding human resources and marketing professionals for the companies that I work with. For about 25 years, I've been in the recruiting business, and the majority of that time has been spent working in recruiting firms. And I've also spent 4 years at LinkedIn in the search vertical, which means that our clients were recruiting companies. So I've spent my entire career in the talent acquisition space, and I've been lucky enough to work with companies in every industry and all sizes. And I want to add that the best partnerships that I've had are those where the leaders can articulate their culture, and the people I'm working with, if those are the hiring managers, the CEO, the HR leaders, whoever that is, if those people, if that person understands how important it is to share with me the culture and educate me on what's important, so I can turn around then and find the best candidates, that's where success happens, because as we know, it's not just about skills and experience.
Awesome. Love this. So of course you've set the stage for a great conversation. Just to put a little bit more context on this, in your role specifically, are you kind of more focused on helping the enterprise be successful in their search, or working with the candidates in placing them in that search?
So my role is more focused on working with the enterprise. So I'm the liaison between our clients, our hiring managers, and my recruiting team. So I've got a team of people who are heads down recruiting, finding those candidates.
Got it. Perfect. And that's important. I of course knew that, but I asked you that question because it's important, because I think there really are two sides to the culture story when it comes to talent acquisition. You're going to have a point of view, obviously, on both of them, but I think today's question will keep us focused on really from the enterprise's point of view. And drum roll, let's just now lead into the big question. How do you see organizations using culture to get out ahead of things, to really differentiate, to win this ongoing war for talent, to make sure that they're attracting, and let's not use the word best, let's use the word right, like the right talent for their organization. How are organizations using culture effectively to attract the right talent to their business? Go.
Sure. I love that. And I love that you're saying the right talent. And there are a couple of common themes as I've talked to people throughout my career. And one thing that everybody says is we need to be deliberate about culture and then let some things happen organically, right? So what do we need to be deliberate about? And one of that is leaders, HR managers, they need to hold themselves and their employees accountable to certain behaviors. And they have, and here's where it's really important, and this is what a lot of HR leaders are working on right now. The importance of their leadership team, their managers, to understand the difference between the company values and pillars and the behaviors that drive those values. So it's really all about behaviors, right? You want to talk about an example right there? Because one comes to mind right away.
Let's do it. Let's set the, I mean, of course you're singing our songs. Put a little bit more context around it.
Sure. So a lot of companies say one of our pillars is be fearless, right? So what does that mean? And it could mean something different to everybody. And some employees might have no idea what that means. So, you know, I've worked with companies where be fearless means we have a culture where it's an open door policy and we want people to go into their managers, go into the CEO and talk about something that's on their mind, share a great idea, share something that's concerning them, right? So that's be fearless. And so if you can put some context around it, that's when it works.
Awesome. So this is a really important aspect to certainly how I think about culture, how we try to solve for it, and certainly how we try to produce better data around it. It's this contextual piece. If someone were to ask you, like, tell me about yourself, you know, Gina, you know yourself better than anyone on the planet, ostensibly, right? Yet my guess is you're going to use some words that a lot of people use. You know, you're going to use maybe even some cliches. You're going to use some buzzwords. You're going to use some things to describe yourself that aren't necessarily going to do you and your uniqueness justice. And that's not your fault. It's just like, it's just hard. Now think about how hard it is to do that when you're talking about an organization. So you use like this distinction between deliberate and organic. Dive a little bit deeper into how you see organizations getting more deliberate about it. How are they creating that context? How are they identifying what those behaviors really are? How are they articulating them so the rest of the world can understand them?
Sure. So one thing that I see a lot of companies doing that I think is great is, you know, outlining behaviors, like I said, outlining behaviors associated with their values and making sure that their managers are aware. So what they're doing is creating a behavioral interview guide. Step one to, well, not step one, but one of the steps to hiring somebody is that interview, right? And so they want to make sure that the hiring managers are armed with specific questions to draw out certain behaviors in candidates. And so it's not just tell me about yourself or tell me about I guess some situational things work too, but it's determine if somebody is a fit. So I'm trying to think of an example. Here's an example. When you've had to adjust to another's work style because that person's work style is very different than yours, how have you done it? Okay, so now based on the way somebody answers that, you'll understand, is that person innovative? Is the person agile? Are they embracing change? And if those are important things to a company, well then, you know, bam, there you go.
Yeah, so I think this again is a really important distinction, and my guess is as people listen to this, they're all kind of nodding their heads, like, yeah, I get it. Behavioral interviewing is important. What as I remember behavioral interviewing from when I was first taught it and whatever certified on it like decades ago, there was still a very kind of prescriptive approach. Like, we're looking for this, and these are kind of the questions that you need to be asking. And this is, you know, you're looking for them to really expand upon this in a very colorful and contextual way. Where I feel like the disconnect is that we're still doing that in a very prescriptive way, and we're not taking the time to develop that approach in a way that is distinct to and unique to those behaviors that matter to us, like, and that we've defined that in our own way. So back to your point, if collaboration is really important to us, great. What does collaboration look like? How does that show up in our organization? And then how do we translate that into what we're looking for from other people? Did I do that justice?
Yes, I think you did. So if I am I understanding right, Charlie, that are you not sure that the behavioral interview guide or playbook is something that works?
No. I think it does work, but where I think it falls down is that we pick in that exercise some very generic, call them competencies or values that we're looking for behaviors around, right? So we say, give us an example of when you've collaborated with somebody. Okay. I mean, that's easy. The question is, did they collaborate in the way that collaboration works in our organization? Collaboration can mean we all get in the room and we talk about it for hours on end until we all reach consensus and then we move forward. Or collaboration can mean, you know what, I just make sure that the right people get the right information at the right time. Those are two different things. Now I'm taking up too much of the airtime, but my objection to behavioral interviewing, which I think is the right approach, is that we don't go that next layer in creating that approach in a way that is distinct and unique to our business.
You're right. I think a lot of companies don't. I think a lot of companies have figured it out and have really spent a lot of time training their managers on how to dig deep. Is it a perfect science? It's not. But I agree with you completely, really being able to dive in, get them talking, take it to the next level is how you're going to figure somebody out. Because the canned interviews, you learn very little about somebody. We all know that.
So you kind of mentioned that you like working with organizations that can help you understand at the front end, kind of the cultural nuances to their business. Tell us about that exercise that you go through. And as you think about our audience, like, how would you prep an organization to prep their recruiters, whether internal or external, to tell the cultural story in a much more meaningful way?
So I've had conversations with some people, obviously based on the industry, the size of the company, the person I'm talking to, that's all different. But some questions that are really important that people need to think about is, why should you work here, right? Why do I work here? Can I articulate why I work here? Because I love it. Well, what does that mean? And so, am I going in the right direction, Charlie? Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely, keep going.
Yeah, so what does that mean to work here, to enjoy working here? What is that like? You know, there, I remember years ago hearing somebody say, oh, I love working there because there's a pool table in the office. But really, what does that mean? I love working here because that means that I have the freedom to, once I've done a good job and have put in, you know, and gotten something done, I can go and take a break. And that's important to me. And so just being able to articulate the why do I like to work here, I think is very important. And anybody who's interviewing anybody should be able to answer that with color. And then why should you work here too? And people are putting that on job descriptions. You know, why should you work here?
Yeah, I think that's a great example, by the way. I mean, it is a really great example. Like, we don't scratch, like we scratch the surface. We don't get to the root. And I think it's the root that's going to make the difference. Like, you know, the there are more and more organizations that have pool tables in their break rooms, right? That very quickly is not going to be a differentiator for you. But what is having that pool table say about who you are? Like, it's one thing, we'll take this analogy too far, but it's one thing to have that pool table in your break room. It's another thing to see people using it at all hours of the day. Or it's another thing to just see them only using it after work. you know, like, so what is it about having that pool table that you really like and you put a good spin on it? Well, I like the fact that I have the freedom to kind of do what I want to do when I need to do it as long as I'm getting my job done. All right, that's cool. I think helping, like, how do you help the individual? Because now we have more and more, at least it feels like we have more individuals throughout the organization touching a recruit, or at least, you know, meeting with a recruit. Hopefully they're not touching them too much, but they're meeting with the recruit, right? So how do you prepare them to tell that story in the way that you just described? Like, how do you make sure that they're putting that context and that color around it? Any thoughts on how to make that happen?
That's an interesting question. And I would love, let's talk about that. I would think that, you know, what do you start with? You start with the why of it. So making sure that anybody who is going to be part of an interview process or part of a candidate review or social media or wherever that means, understands the why. Why is this important? Because we're trying to attract and retain the right people for our team. And what does right mean? And then maybe having a central statement, a guiding principle, a common theme that these people can share with candidates and employees.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's value to just actually just going through the exercise, a little kind of introspection, reflection. I mean, ask your hiring managers or those people that are involved in interviews to just take 10 minutes before the interview and think about how are they going to tell their story in a way that's not about complying with your glossy recruiting brochure or reemphasizing the values that you have hanging in your lobby, but make it real, make it authentic to what your experience is. And so along those lines, let me ask you, as a lifetime recruiter, you know, what about the flip side to that question? What about what don't you like about working here? Is that information, insight, as important, or is it a dangerous path?
I think it could be dangerous, but I think it's also important. And I think sometimes you have to be prepared to answer those tough questions and make iterations. I had a conversation recently with somebody, and one of the benefits that they posted was unlimited vacation. And then there was a conversation around that, and they asked for a lot of feedback, that unlimited vacation seemed contrived. The people weren't believing it. It just seemed unauthentic. And so they changed it to generous vacation package. And so then that changed the conversation too. We have a generous vacation package. And if we need to take time off and feel that, and with our manager's approval, feel that everything is done, we're going to take some time off versus unlimited. That, like I said, it sounded unauthentic. And so making those iterations of what works, what doesn't, what don't I like? And that iteration came from somebody saying, well, what don't I like? I am not sure I trust that. Does that make sense?
I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that's a great example. And I think we sometimes forget that words matter. And how we say things is certainly important. What we say is important, and how it's interpreted is often the stuff that we don't have a lot of control over. So it's important that we use the right words, but it's also important that we give the recruit the context and the color that they need to interpret it in the right way. I think you're smart as a leader and as an advisor in the talent acquisition space to help organizations understand the impact of their words, intentionally or unintentionally. I will just stand on the soapbox for a second, and I'm unfortunately guilty of doing this more than I should, but I think organizations need to get more and more comfortable at telling the story in a complete way. And for us to pretend like there aren't things about work and the experience of work that our employees don't like is a big mistake. And it puts you in a lose-lose situation. Your organization cannot be all things to all people, period. That's why we started this conversation around this notion that you need to look for the right people. You can put two people next to each other that have a resume that look exactly the same. Great pedigree, great experiences, great education. They are going to bring the skills and experiences to the table that you need. But it's likely that one of those people likes to work one way, and the other one of those people likes to work the other way. What's important is figuring out which one of those people is going to fit with the way that you work. And so if that means stuff like, you know what, when we make decisions, we get a lot of people involved because we want to make sure that we make the right decision. And that means that there are some layers to control and approval and responsibility. But that's the way that we work, and that's the way that we're successful. I'd rather hear that and know that that's the kind of environment that I cannot work in. I have got to work in a place where I can make a decision without having to go through 15 different hurdles and having 17 different meetings and blah, 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 blah. That's important to me. It may not be important to everybody else. But if you don't tell me that on the front end, then I'm as good as gone as soon as I walk in that door. So I'm not suggesting that we need to open the kimono and tell everything to everyone, but we need to be much smarter about giving information that people really need to make good decisions about whether or not they can be successful in this organization.
Absolutely. I sat in on an interview and heard the hiring manager say to the candidate, working here, you have to be able to embrace change. And there are days, more days than not, where you feel like you have to sit down and put your seatbelt on because things are going so fast. And I thought that's great. And that's honest. And the candidate might think this is crazy or might think this is just what I want, but it was out there.
At least I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're not trying to massage that, right? Oh yeah. We change a lot, but we're really cautious about how we do it. No, we're not. Like we're crazy. We go nuts. And there are just as many people out there that love that, like that thrive on that. Right. Then there are people who are scared of it. It's just finding the only way you can find the right person is to put that in front of them. So I hope that we see more of that evolution. I'm glad that you've kind of, shed some light on it. And it's baby steps, right? I mean, you helped us understand that it can start with even the smallest of things, but it is about putting context and color around it. So I'm conscious, and that's a great theme for today. Context and color goes a long way in culture, a long way in attracting the right people, being authentic about it, giving it the meat that it needs to tell the right story. So thanks for bringing that to this discussion. I'm conscious of time. We're up on 24 minutes. This went really quickly. Anything else that you would like to share, kind of parting thoughts that you'd like to give everybody as they think about being more effective in sharing that story?
Yeah. So another common theme, and I thought this was really interesting. I started thinking about preparing for this. I started thinking about a lot of conversations I've had. And two things I want to share. One is most companies will say that they put more efforts into using culture to retain the talent that they have rather than attract. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying it's something people say.
Yep.
So more effort goes into retaining the talent rather than attracting. And then another is several traditional companies will say, we know we have to use social media more, we just haven't done it yet, we're still figuring that out. Where the startup companies, the tech companies, you know, they're all over that. So I think that that's interesting. You know, what, and maybe this is another conversation, but does that mean that the traditional companies, if they embrace social media, are they changing their traditional ways? You know, and that's why some people are saying, well, we're not in a big hurry to do it. It's not who we are. But that's something that's interesting too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think those topics are related. And I appreciate your sharing both. I think if you're an organization that's still trying to figure out where social media fits into your, and let's keep this limited and talk about it, you know, from a talent acquisition perspective, then you're already fighting a losing battle. That ship has sailed. And if nothing else, it is another venue for you to market, promote your brand and tell your story. And again, in an authentic way, there is nothing better than having to condense your story to 140 characters. Now, whatever it is, 270 or whatever, than that. Like, I mean, that's a great way to get really clear on who you are. So sorry, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I do think that there's a role social media can play in the cultural story. And it's a great avenue for it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I thank you. I think that maybe is a topic for another time and we'll have to figure out how to open that up. I thank you for spending time with me today, with us. Before we sign off, tell people how they can follow you, connect with you, learn more about you and what you do.
Yeah. So please look me up on LinkedIn, Dina Galle, connect with me. I would love that. My company is www.vastiligroup.com. And my email, I would love to hear from you that way too, is dgalle@vastiligroup.com.
Awesome. Dina, thanks so much for being here today. I've enjoyed talking. Thanks, audience, for listening. Find us on Podbean and Stitcher and every other iTunes and every other podcast distributor on the planet. Stay tuned for another edition, which is likely to post in the next 14 or 10 business days or so. And until then, be good. Thanks, everybody.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe so you won't miss our regular programming. Forward-thinking organizations use WorkExo's culture-fueled people analytics to optimize their workforce. And they out-recruit, out-engage, and outperform their competition every single day. Learn more about our cloud-based culture management platform at www.workexo.com. Thanks again.